It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along and lots to do on today's show as we are getting towards the bitter end of deer season.
Getting close.
Yeah.
The good news is the rut is on.
Yes, it's getting up. The rut's on, and it's been pretty good for folks in different parts. It's been pretty good for folks like Mike's grandson as well.
Yeah, had a good weekend last weekend. Didn't kill a nice deer. And also shot a hog. Finally saw a hog.
Now, okay, let's talk about that for a second. Most people will be like, why is Mike excited about seeing a hog? Well, the fact is you've been seeing them on camera, just not in person.
Every day, every night, they there. I got three different places set up, and camera, the hogs coming in there every night.
Right.
And finally, one came out in the daylight where we could shoot it. I mean, it's just unbelievable how smart these hogs are and how nocturnal they are. And my neighbors right across the street, they got about 500 acres, and it's exactly the same way over there. All the cameras are showing the hogs on there every night, and they can't kill one.
Let's go back to something we've talked about on the show in the past, that if you are these are all fun things to do, but if you're hunting hogs with your rifle, it's a fun thing to do. If you're hunting hogs with dogs,
yeah,
fun thing to do, catch them, get them, if you're using those individual trapdoor traps, it's good. Get some pork and stuff.
Yeah.
None of those things, while they're fun to do, are going to make a dent in hog population.
No. It doesn't look like it.
Not telling you don't go do them because they're fun. I get it. But we've talked about this at length with Chuck Sykes, director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, about this. Other people that are in the trapping game. If you are not using one of the remote control traps that they come in with hog panel, you put the panel together and make the corral, basically leave one end open, feed them there for a long period of time. You use a cellular system to watch what you got coming in.
Live feed is showing you exactly what's happening right now.
So you can make sure too, not only to look in that corral, but to look at the hogs around there. And the people that are doing these, they don't drop the gate the first time the hogs get in there. They're trying to make sure they figure out how many are in that sounder.
Yes.
And that they're all in there. And then they get them all in one fell swoop. And to be frank with you, other than that, you may make very localized impacts for a very short period of time. But unless you're doing something like that and catching whole sounders, we're not going to win this war.
No, you got to catch the whole family. It's not working. You're not doing any good if you're not catching the whole family. Because each one, there's like three or four groups of hogs that I've got. And that group of hogs, there's probably 15 or so in each group, and a couple of them, sows, they getting ready to have, they are big.
They're
getting ready to have some babies, and when they have babies, they're going to have 10, 12, each one of them. There's 4 or 5 in each group that I see that's really blown up pregnant, so we getting ready to have, golly, a ton of them.
So shooting them and all that is fun.
Yes.
It's good pork. Even getting people talk about it. I know a lot of folks like to run dogs and stuff. That's a sport and a fun thing to do.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm going to get the guys with dogs in here to get rid of the hog problem. Listen, it will locally impact for a short period of time the number of hogs, but it's not going to be. And I know it's tough because the equipment we're talking about is pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Pretty pricey stuff. But I mean, I look at this stuff all the time. If you're going to make any dent, and here's the problem. I hate to sound like I'm a Debbie Downer, negative Nancy here, but you can do a great job of using, even if you buy one of these corral systems with the live feed, and what we're talking about, you've probably seen them. I mean, they got the corral, and you have the live feed, and then you have an app on your phone or another remote control that once you get the whole sounder of hogs in there, you press a button, you drop the gate, you catch all of them. All of them at one time. If you do that, which is the one way you can make a real dent in the population versus shooting or running dogs or trapping them with regular, the kind of traps we've always run.
Right, one where it traps one or two hogs at a time. Then they get smart to that after
that's
a while.
Right.
The other family would
never come
not
in there.
Coming back. Yeah.
That's why you have to catch them all at one time. So, but if you're, if you're using this system we're talking about, the ones that work, catch the whole group. The only problem is if everybody else isn't doing it, and you have property that has something the hogs want, they'll be back.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's the same thing. And we're going to talk in the next month or so, too. We'll talk a lot of trapping on the show and get some guests booked here coming up in February to talk more about trapping. But it's one of those things like with coyotes. Okay. Be like, I'm going to wipe the coyotes off my property. Well, first of all, you're probably not.
No.
Second of all, if you did wipe them off your property, give it a couple months, and there'll be some new coyotes show up.
Yes.
And I'm a guy who traps.
It won't be a couple months. It'll be just a week or two.
Right. I'm a guy who traps. I like running coyote traps. Well, I do this. I can position it right now. I'm basically trapping for fur because if I'm managing, if I'm trapping coyotes to help deer population, then I'm going to be trapping in the summer when the does are dropping fawns. That's your strategic management trapping. But if you're trapping right now, which I encourage, it's a lot of fun. You're just utilizing a resource like a deer out there or anything else. But that's the problem. Same thing with the hogs. Unless it's happening over a broad landscape, you can maybe affect for a short period. Even doing this method that really works, you can affect things for a month or two, three, four. But eventually, there's some way the hogs got there before, right? And they'll travel that creek drainage or whatever. Another group will come in and go, whoa, look at this place.
Ain't nobody around here, man. We can have fun. But here's the problem with all of it. It's time.
Exactly right.
You know, like I'm 2.5 hours away from where I hunt. Okay, if I set up this trap and I see those hogs come in Monday night and I got them all in there and I set the track.
You
got to
go.
I got to go up there. Yeah. Well, I got to work next day.
I know.
You know?
This is reality of us being, you know, not living on property.
Right.
You know, in the old days, you know, if you're a farmer and lived on the property, you could do some changes. That's me with trapping coyotes.
Yeah. Same thing. I'm lucky
to be able to do it close to the house here because if not, you can't run, you know, legally. You got to check those traps.
Right. That's exactly right.
So you can't set, I mean, and listen, I've have full sets of coyotes, coyote traps set, and I've left a place on a Sunday night knowing what my work week was going to be like. And I go by each set, take a stick, pop, 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 pop. In other words, I'm firing the traps,
right?
So they don't catch.
That's right.
So just what you have to do
because you can't come back.
Because I know I can't come back.
Yeah, it's the same way with me. I mean, I'd love to set these traps up there. I'd do it, but I know once I do it and I set it, I got to go up there and take care of them. And there's days I might be able to do that, but then there's days I can't do that.
That's
so
right.
What do you do?
Well, we'll talk more about this coming up this month. We'll talk.
That's
a lot
the only
of
way you're going to control them at all.
So congratulations! No listen, long story longer. Yeah. Congratulations on the hog, but real congratulations to your grandson.
My grandson killed a really nice deer, 10 point, scored 138.
Y'all, it looks. Look at this deer. Really it looks like deer. A 150. It's incredible buck.
Really pretty deer. So
your grandson's killed
Dylan.
way more antler than I ever have. So good for him. I got to ask him for some advice.
Yeah,
he's going to say go. With my granddad.
Yeah.
That's what I could do. No, a heck of a buck. So good for him. Was he chasing her or anything?
No,
or was he
just... wasn't with any does or anything. Sure.
Really?
Just come out and feel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it goes.
Yeah, but I mean, they are chasing.
We got plenty of chasing at our
place. Bucks are chasing the does. I mean, the does come in the fields.
And you're talking about, here's the difference. So we're talking about chasing. You're talking about that from Dallas County.
Right. Well, Marengo County.
Marengo County in Dallas County area. I'm talking about it in Mobile County.
Yes. But they're doing it there,
chasing.
Too. Yeah. But on that map that the state has that shows the dates of rut, you're in the same rut as I am in Marengo County.
Now, I had some reports from our place in Washington County, and we had actually a few weeks ago been up there with the kids and saw a little bit of, not chasing, but the bucks cruising hard back then. I had a buddy up there hunting this week, and he said they had a couple little bucks in the field with does, and said they paid them no mind.
Yeah.
So it's still really not wide open in western Washington County, but where we are in western Mobile County, it's happening. Lots of chasing going on.
You've been noticing that up in Washington County
for a long time. I was one of those people when
end of January is when it really starts happening for you.
Yep, absolutely. So a lot of runts. Remember, we have those shows. You can go back in podcast form and hear our interview with Chris Cook, the deer director for the state of Alabama, and the 7 different rut peaks in the state of Alabama. It was a great conversation we had with him. And if you go to our podcast page, or you can go to the Sports and Outdoors page on FMTalk1065.com, you can get that interview. Also, I want to give you all a heads up before we run to the break here and coming right back. A couple things coming up. But number one, coming up on today's show,
Yeah.
Okay. You've probably seen a, maybe you've seen a picture of him or a discussion of this 8-point that was killed.
Yep.
And is we talk about score of a deer. This is a deer that scores 175 and 1/8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
175 and an eighth, it's an 8-point. Let me go back.
Yeah.
It's a 175-inch deer. It's an 8-point, y'all.
Yeah.
And it was killed in Alabama.
Yep.
And I won't get...
Killed right there by where we are. I mean, it's not very far.
Marengo County, yeah. We'll say that. I mean, we're not going to, you know...
Well, everybody knows where it's killed.
So
it's killed up around Thomaston.
Yeah.
I mean, it's posted everywhere on the internet. So, I mean, we're not telling something that, you know, nobody knows.
Right. 175 and an eighth inch. That's Wayne Edgeworth killed it. We'll talk to him about that hunt and all that later on in the show, but he's going to join us. But just picture that. And that, you don't have to picture it. You go to any social media platform, one of your buddies has posted that up.
That's right. And that's the third largest 8-point ever killed in Alabama.
It is. It is something. So, it's an exceptional.
Just to think about that, there's two others that's bigger than that. Yeah, that's amazing.
By how much?
I don't know. I hadn't checked that out.
Okay, we'll talk to Wayne later on in the show. Edgeworth, who killed that buck. But 175 and an eighth inch 8-point. Stunning. And a quick program note, too, because we're going to welcome aboard John Felsher. John Felsher is the host of the Outdoors Tips that run during the week on FM Talk 106.5. So John's part of the crew here. Of course, you read his work. He writes for tons of publications, too, at Hunter Fisherman, and a great writer and somebody who's bringing that knowledge to the air on weekdays here at FM Talk 106.5 for the Outdoorsman Tips. And he's also going to be part of the crew that joins us coming up in March down at the boat show. So, I mean, we're a month away from the boat show.
Yeah.
A little over a month away from the boat show.
Yeah. Right around the corner.
Spring's coming around. And turkey-wise, I don't have anything to say on turkeys. I don't know where any are. I hadn't seen any turkeys.
You haven't seen any.
I haven't seen any.
You know, they're extinct where you
hunt.
I don't even know what they look like.
Not even into turkeys.
I think I saw a glimpse of one the other day, but I'm not sure it's either that or a coyote.
I cannot confirm that I had 10 long beards in one group come by me the other day.
I ain't seen any pictures of them. I ain't said a word to nobody.
I probably didn't see them. I'm making that up. I'm not worried about turkeys.
Yeah.
I'm not a good liar. All right, we're coming right back. And I want to talk about some way I got some pictures of some turkeys at long distance, too.
That is interesting. I didn't know that was available.
This is a thing that you're going to have. I'll tell you about it coming up. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And, so the rut is here. Great news for your grandson. I'm so fired up for that buck. That is awesome.
Beautiful buck. Sure is.
His next one's going to be 180.
No, we're trying to kill one. We've been trying to. I'm pretty sure he... It's one from last year that we saw, too. And he's a nice deer, but he's not as nice as this 10-point kill.
Yeah.
But it's an odd deer. Got 3 on one side and 7 on the other side. So he's kind of a messed up, but pretty heavy horns, tall horns. Going to be a neat deer if we ever kill him. But my neighbors have got him on camera, too. So hopefully either us or the neighbors, one of us, will get him this year. Because he's a fully mature deer.
What do you think about the amount of cameras people are running? Do more deer get shot or more deer walk because of cameras?
I think more deer walk.
Yeah, I think.
I really do because you see.
Especially if you've gotten to see them in the camera versus.
Because you're seeing what's on the property. So you're saying, well, let's don't shoot that one this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where before you might see him walk out and say, well, I'm going to kill him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you see there's 4, 5, 6 more bigger than that maybe than what the one you maybe would have shot.
But I'm thinking about during the rut. Because when you have that index of you've gotten a chance, although every day, and I mean, our place is a prime example, new bucks every day.
New bucks.
I have bucks that disappear for days. I have new bucks come in. I think we're all dealing with that. But
the last 2 weeks, there have been a lot of new bucks come through.
But you study your cameras, and you get an idea of those, how big that deer is or isn't. And sometimes you can make a mistake, but if you have an idea, that deer comes trotting behind a doe or running a doe and just stops for a second. In the past, you might not know that he's real narrow or he's real thin. You just say, that's a good rack buck, and you kill him.
Yeah.
Now you've looked at it. So, I mean, it's funny because you think, all right, using game cameras, going to be more bucks die in Alabama because of trail cameras and using it. I kind of think that, at least in my lifetime, it's led to fewer bucks getting killed.
I think that's right. I mean,
because I'll hold off. I will go, oh, you know, come up, the rifle, go ahead and take safety off and go, oh, I know that's that smaller 8-point. No, he's like a 2.5-year-old. I'm not going to shoot him.
That's right. I feel the
only
same
because
way.
I saw him on camera and I've studied him for a month.
Yeah.
If I'd have just seen him and he came running by, pow.
Yeah. Well, I think that's everybody, you know? Yeah. I think when you know there's a lot of, or quite a few decent bucks on there to shoot, the smaller ones you're not going to shoot.
And you know that is a younger, you've had enough time to say, that rack goes with this, I know that deer.
Yeah, that's right.
Although sometimes you'll see something you don't know, but I mean.
Well, I mean, you make mistakes. I mean, sure. You can do that. That's very easy.
But I still think more deer are surviving because of trail cameras than dying.
Absolutely. There is one particular buck that we're definitely not going to shoot on our place. It's a real pretty 8-point, but he's had one of his beams broke off, part of the end of his beam broke off, had a tine broke off, so he's a fighter.
Yeah.
So if he makes it through all the fights he's in this year, next year he's going to be a pretty decent deer. I think he'll probably be a shooter.
To see the other deer he was fighting.
Yeah, I mean, broke him off two places.
You know, you hear about this more. I don't know if I've ever heard about it. I'm sure it's happened with whitetails, but I hear about more like with elk and other western big game that they will find pieces of antler in another bull. Like when they're fighting, they hit them so hard it breaks off, they had a broken part, and then he jabs them, and they will find a shard of an antler, healed over sometimes with pus and all that stuff, in another elk. They're
that's
cleaning
amazing,
it, and they find,
it?
And they find, and they go, that's a piece of another antler.
And
he keeps on rocking.
And people don't realize how hard it is to break an antler.
Yeah.
It is hard to break an antler. And then you start talking about an elk's antler or something that might be,
would be out at the tip.
6-8 inches in diameter or something and get broke off. I mean, that's pretty strong.
It is strong. One thing that they talk about, though, that certain years more than others, when they have drought years out west, they said they'll be trying to build antler size, but the antlers are real brittle.
Yeah.
Now, it's all relative, but they said on these dry years, by the time they get done with the rut and bow season, they said, those years, they said like 80-90% of the bulls are broken up. Like every one of them you see has got, because their antlers are just more fragile. Years they have more moisture, they take a little more beating. Now here, moisture is not a limiting factor for us, so our deer probably have harder antlers all the time. But I wonder if anybody's ever seen that on whitetails. I've never heard it on whitetails, but I hear it on western.
No, I haven't heard that on whitetails either, but I would think they're both horns.
Yeah.
So it would have to be
break off.
Same come into play on both of them.
Right, so, but I'm saying here they may not be as brittle for the size of the animal. You know what I'm saying? The amount of weight behind it versus the strength of it. But it's amazing to me here, those critters that will have a gouge like that, a big wound from fighting. It heals up and they keep on. I mean, that's last year's wound.
They are tough animals.
You see their eye, ones that, I mean, I think we've all seen one that has its eye gouged.
Yeah, or blind.
Yeah.
In one eye and his ears.
That's what I'm saying, gouged
and
hanging out.
His ears ripped down and just folded down to the side of his face because he's done had his ear ripped off.
And then he's still chasing does.
Yeah, and how many you see that when they bristle up, you can see the
scars on their neck,
all over their back, their shoulders, their neck.
Yep.
I mean, just it's something for deer to have to live through all that.
And
they're
then
fighting all the time.
And then they keep on trucking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. We think about how strong they are, what it takes to bring them down. This is a critter that can take that kind of beating, okay? Be having an ear hanging off this way and a gouged out eye, and is still chasing does.
Oh, still just as mad as he was before that.
Something to be said for it. All right, I want to do this before we run the break. And reminder, if you're just joining us, coming up later on in the show, we'll talk about the third biggest 8-point ever killed in the state of Alabama, 175 and an 8-inch buck, Marengo County buck. 175 and an 8-inch 8-point, y'all. Wayne
that's
Edgeworth.
That's the third largest. We got to look up and see what the first and second.
The guy who killed it, Wayne Edgeworth, is going to join us later on the show. But I mentioned before we went to the break, a gadget out there.
Yep.
And there's some gadgets I'm interested in. I'd say the duck hunting world got me more on gadgets, than deer hunting world, unless you consider like optics gadgets. I'm into optics, but this is a gadget that makes your phone and optics come together. If you've ever tried through your binoculars or your scope to take a picture, like the deer's, you want to show your buddy or whatever, and the deer's out there in a clear cut, and you're trying to zoom in on your scope, and then you're holding your smartphone in front of the scope,
trying to
get lined up and take a picture. This device is a company called PhoneScope, and there may be other people that make them.
Spell it for them, too, so they know.
So it's Phone Normal, P-H-O-N-E, and then Scope with a K, S-K-O-P-E. If you search PhoneScope, or it's digiscoping is the general term, but PhoneScope is a company I used. They make cell phone cases and then adapters for optics. Right. And so you get, when I bought mine, I put in, I got a Samsung. Okay, walk through. You go to the website. I have a Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus. That's my phone. You might have, Mike has an iPhone.
11X Pro,
right.
Whatever.
So when you go to the website, you have to know the make of the model of cell phone you have, which is easy to find. So you put that in there. That tells them, because you're going to get a case for your phone, just like if you have one of the cases like I have, whatever, to keep from busting your phone up, right? You have one of these hard cases for it. It's like that. It's a plastic case. So you take your phone out of the case it's currently in, you put it in their case thing, right? And then on the back of that, centered up where the camera is on your phone, there's a circle there and a plastic fitting that then fits an adapter piece. So when you go on the website, you tell them what kind of phone you have, and then you tell them, all right, I want to attach my phone to this optic, okay? And
whether it's a binocular, a spotting scope, or a scope.
Yeah, and they do it for telescopes. They do it for even non-hunting stuff. Yeah. But, spot and scope, binocular, rifle scopes for us in the hunting world. For me, to walk you through, so I have a Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus. So I put that in, and I wanted to attach that phone to a pair of Vortex Viper 50 HD 15x50 binoculars.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you put that in, there's an adapter. So there's the case the phone is in. Mm-hmm. And on the back of the phone, on the back of the phone case, there's a circular place. That's where your connector goes between that phone case and whatever optic you want. But it is specific for that optic.
Yes.
Because you think about, this is going to fit around where your eye goes. In my binoculars, it fits around my eye cup thing there.
Yeah.
And the scope is
just looking through one binocular.
That's right.
It's not the binocular, both of them. It's just looking through one.
Yeah, for binoculars, that's a good point. For binoculars, picture this, when I'm using it, I've got this adapter on one of my eyepieces of the binocular and then attached to the phone. Okay, scope would be different. Obviously, it's spot and scope. So what it does, and it's really amazing, and Mike can attest, and maybe I'll try to get some amazing.
I wouldn't have realized how good it is till you showed me a picture.
Okay, you take it, and so I got my binoculars, and I showed Mike some pictures and video. I took us some turkeys at 485 yards.
Yes.
Okay.
500 yards.
500 yards.
Yes.
And then pretty darn
clear.
And close.
I mean, it looks like they ride up like you took it at 50 yards or 30 yards.
It's pretty amazing. You know? So think about this. Think about the zoom you get with your scope, your spotting scope, or your binoculars. So you do that, and you use all that zoom to get in there close to the
critter. Zoom on your camera.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
And then you use the zoom on your camera. So what I was doing is, so I have this, you know, binoculars are focused in. I get the phone scope adapter. Once again, it's P-H-O-N-E, and then S-K-O-P-E, phone scope.
Yeah.
And so now I've got the binoculars are fully zoomed. Now I've got my phone looking through one of the lenses.
Yep.
And so you picture how it looks on your phone if you go to take a picture or take a video, and how you can swipe your fingers, you know, to make things bigger.
Yep.
You do that, so now you go beyond the zoom that your optics gave you, and you go to digital zoom.
Which you can double it.
That's right. Whatever,
yeah.
And so you keep zooming in.
Yeah.
So and 15, it's pretty amazing.
Instead of 15 power, you're at 30 power.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, I basically have given my phone a zoom lens, you know, through whatever piece of optics I have. And you take anything you do through your phone. So you take video, you take pictures, whatever.
Can you put that online, put pictures on there, and so people can see?
Yeah, I have some of the video on my Instagram feed. If you're on Instagram, just look for Sean Sullivan Radio. It's one I don't talk about. It's just outdoor stuff because I try to keep it away from all the political stuff I do during the week.
Sure.
But Sean Sullivan Radio on Instagram, there's some of it there. And I'll try to put some up on our Facebook as well to show you all some of the pictures. Now, those turkeys are not on my place. They're on some other place, or I don't even know what a turkey looks like. Don't even know what a turkey looks like, but I'll show you that video. It's pretty neat. You get video pictures, but it's called Phone Scope. If you've ever wanted to be able to use the optics you have, your scope, your spot and scope, your binoculars, to be able to take long distance cool video and pictures of critters
that are clear,
that are clear,
they're clear.
It's you're going to love it. So check it out. If you got any questions too about it, you can always send me an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and we'll try to get it answered. All right, coming back, 175-inch 8-point. Well, that's what we're talking about. The third biggest 8-point ever killed in Alabama. Wayne Edgeworth, the hunter that killed it, is going to join us coming up. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. And as we mentioned as we went to break, pretty exciting because I saw a video, I think, even before the picture. I saw a video on Facebook where they were scoring this buck up in Thomaston. I know that brick wall quite well where they're doing the score. And I saw this video and a 8-point like I've never seen.
Yeah,
a gigantic 8-point. And they're talking to the man who shot that buck, Wayne Edgeworth, and we're lucky enough to get him to join us this morning on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. First of all, before anything else, congratulations, Wayne. That's a heck of a buck.
Thank you, sir. It's been a life-changing deer. It's meant so much to me. I hunted the deer for many, many years since he was 3.5 years old, and he's 7.5 years old, and the good Lord let me have an opportunity to kill him, but I never realized what I was getting into with killing this deer. I thought he was a 150-class deer, and now he turns into be a record book deer.
I want to talk about that, too, because that's been some numbers here, some more information on the deer. Walk us through the measurement on your buck and then where it ranks in Alabama.
Well, we measured him, and they checked the record books, and he scored number 3 in the state of Alabama as a typical 8-point. And is a 9-point. He's got a kicker coming off his G2, and at 9-point, he is number 1 in the state.
Wow!
As a non-typical 9-point.
That is awesome.
Number 6 in the state on all typicals, like your 8, 6, 10 points, 12 points. He is number 6 in the state in your typical categories of all categories. And he's the largest 8-point been killed since 1993 in the state of Alabama.
Well, he is unbelievable.
But he's the slickest 8-point. Those other 8-points that they net out 8 points, they're actually 12 points or 16 points that net out just the 8-point to get 8-point size and score. Yours is a true, I would say, 8-point. It's got a little kicker off the side, like, making a 9-point, but it's a true 8-point.
Yes, sir. And it's the 8-point mainframe typical rack that is so amazing about this deer for it to score so high.
That's yes. What I want people to think about. Okay, we'll go. Deer scores 175 and an eighth, and y'all, it's an 8-point.
Yes.
It's like,
it's unbelievable. It's a godsend deer.
Absolutely. He is a monster. So you've seen the deer before. And you're not hunting inside a fence or anything. You're outside in open land.
I own 200 acres that I bought, 210 acres. I bought it in 2002, and I basically managed it for big whitetails, mountable deers. I always shoot or cull bucks, but I had him on video when he was 3.5 years old, and he's 7.5 years old now. He's never been seen in the daylight hours.
That's amazing.
January 17th. About 10 minutes after daylight, he cut the corner of a green field following a doe.
Yep, that gets him in trouble.
He come across the field just a few minutes after daylight.
Now, wait. I want y'all to think about this because it'll make us all feel better that there's a chance, whatever buck we're hunting, maybe not that class, but you saw from the time he was 3 to 7, y'all had never seen him in the daylight.
Never. I run 12 cameras on my farm, and I've never seen him in the daylight.
And you got neighbors, too. Neighbors,
they haven't seen him die. I think there's one or two of my neighbors that's got him on camera, but they've never had him in the daylight hours either. I'd have killed this deer at 4.5 years old.
Yeah.
But luckily, he was nocturnal, and he got to be 7.5 years old, and he made a mistake.
Well, that's exactly why we like to hunt in a rut. That is a rut kill. If it hadn't been for the rut, you still wouldn't see that deer. And not only that, you got to be in the right place at the right time when that deer is following a doe and just happens to cut a corner of a piece of property that you can see him in the daylight hours to shoot him.
Can't you just imagine a deer that's 3.5 years old, 4 years later, 7.5 years old, he's never showed himself in the daylight hours?
Isn't that amazing?
He made one little tiny mistake, and it caught. Well, he was seen to go downhill anyway. But,
yeah.
You know, but it's just like he made a little tiny mistake.
And yeah. You were there, though. There's the other part of it. He made the mistake to cut that field in the daylight hours, and then you were sitting in that stand on that morning.
A lot of things have to come together for it to happen.
Yeah.
I've killed several 3 or 4 140s and late 135s and that kind of thing. But, you know, a deer of this magnitude is just unbelievable.
Well,
but it
yeah.
goes to show you, in Alabama, if you do things halfway right and let them go, but nobody's going to let them go. There's very few people that
that's right.
in Alabama is going to let a 140-class deer walk. They're going to kill it.
Well, just like you said, if you saw him at 3.5, 4.5 years old, you would have killed him then.
I'd have killed him then.
You just didn't see him. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize these deer, once they get 3.5 years old, 4.5 years old, they just get hard to kill. They have seen everything, and they just know they can't come out in daylight hours. They will get killed.
But that was probably the most feeling that I've ever had in my life. And when I seen that deer, he looked like the Hartford elk, and I knew which deer he was.
Sure.
And I shot him, and I had to. He took the bullet pretty well. He didn't even act like it was hurt. I shot him again right before he stepped out of the field, and I didn't really know then he was dead. I just couldn't believe it till I got down there in my buggy and seen the deer laying on the ground. My heart was jumping out of my chest. I had the most adrenaline rush I've ever had. You bottle it up, you can sell it and make plenty of money.
Well, I'm sure all of us deer hunters have had that, not, you know, hadn't killed not that big a deer, but
yeah.
all have that feeling, whether it's a 130, a 140, a 150, whatever. When you see it, if you don't get a feeling like that, you need to quit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There is one other question I need to ask you. You know, I hunt up there, too. I hunt up in Thomaston or, you know, up close to where you're at. And years ago, there used to be soybeans out up there. Everywhere you go, there were soybeans, you know. And now when you see a 25- or 30-year-old pine plantation, that's where soybeans used to be planted. And now it's a farm, a tree farm. Now, there's been probably about, I don't know, 6 or 7 deer that I know of in the 160s and 170s been killed up in that part of the world. But the common denominator with every one of them is soybeans. They've been hunting around soybeans. Do you have soybeans?
No, sir. Mine is just a little bit of hardwoods, mostly pine plantation. The property joining me is pine plantations. South of me is a little bit of pine pasture mix. There's some cotton fields about a half a mile from my place. But there's not what you call soybean agriculture being done probably within 5 miles of my place.
Okay.
Well, my deer was raised on acorns, honeysuckles, sawbriars, and green fields and miscellaneous stuff in the woods.
Yeah.
Now people are paying attention when you're talking because you got the proof in the pudding for that deer. I'm going to take this part of it. That's an age thing. Too. What did you think he scored as a 4.5 year old? Do you think he was a 140s?
Yeah, he was in the 140s or close to 140s. Well, it's so hard to judge about it when we scored the deer. Now, when we were on the tailgate of my truck scoring it, I never dreamed he scored 175. So I didn't have the perception of what he really scored at 4.5 and 5.5 and 6.5. See, I've got him on camera and I've done a collage of pictures from a showing when I show the deer of the different ages in his racks. You know, it's kind of hard, but at 3.5, he was probably a one good 25 class deer at 3.5 years old.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's about a good average 3.5 year old up there. I mean, that's not anything big or that's not small. I mean, that's about a good average 3.5 or 4.5 year old. 8-point is, you know, 120 so class.
But as he got older, it was really hard for me to comprehend. He probably scored 150 at 5.5, and then from 5.5 to 7.5, that 2-year period, it's kind of hard to believe how he just blew up.
Yeah. That's
eating acorns and sawbriars and honeysuckles. I put out some corn when they passed a baiting law this past year, and I bought some feeders and stuff, but corn don't have any protein in it. You know,
That's right.
It's not helping grow the deer. I was just trying to kill the deer. Every way I
preach
to do it, I tried to come up with ways, how could I kill this deer?
Yeah. Besides spotlight and night.
Yeah, I do it legally. I tried everything you could do. I put cameras trying to catch him coming from and to the green fields. You couldn't pattern this deer. This deer didn't have a large home range. I would say he was in about a 300 or 400 acre home range. And he was smart enough to stay in those cutovers in the daytime and feed on those briars and stuff. And he had water places that he didn't have to get out in the daylight.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to think about, that home range. So I guess it varies from buck to buck. But that one in particular, it's not a huge home range.
No. Yeah. I had a 10-point that I had on camera for 3 solid months. And when the rut come on, I was just thinking, man, I'm going to kill this 145 class buck. And my neighbor killed him a mile away.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's why people don't let them walk.
That's right. If it was inside a fence, but outside the fence, you get one that scores, a good 135, 140 or so. It's hard to pass those up unless you've just killed an awful lot of that type deer.
But he's a good one. I'm telling you, pictures and stuff don't do him justice. There's a lot of naysayers out there, but, you're going to have that in hunting,
That's right. Well, when I first saw the deer, saw the picture of it, my first thought was, man, it looks like about a 155 8-point, which is a monster. I didn't realize it was a 170.
Then you start seeing those tines, not only are hot, they're curling back
in the beams.
Yeah.
When you got a G2 that's 15 and a quarter inches long.
Yep.
That helps.
It don't take many of them. All his G2s and his G3s are over 12 inches, and they've never scored a deer that had all four of those both G2s and both G3s over 12 inches. They've never scored one that high.
Yeah.
And all of them are 12 inches long or longer.
That's amazing.
He's a deer of a lifetime, and he's just something that means so much to me. I'm 65 years old, and you just can't imagine when you're a child. You wanted Boone and Crockett. That's what it all was when I was coming up.
Sure.
All they talk about is Boone and Crockett. And 65 years old, I've got there, and it's just been an amazing feeling.
Yeah, well, I can sit back and admire you and only guess what that feels like. But we're excited for you, Wayne. It is a heck of a buck. When are people – you'll take it out on tour, let folks like us see it in person?
He's going to be up there at the Whitetail Records place. They have a little get together, have a luncheon and things. April the 25th, and don't hold me to that date, but I think it is. He's going to be at the Birmingham Deer Show under the Alabama Whitetails booth.
Yeah, that'd be the third week of July.
With pictures, and he's going to be at several sporting goods stores. Anybody wants to see the deer,
I'm raising my hand, Wayne. I want to see the deer.
You want me to bring him to Mobile and bring him down there and show him?
Yes,
I'd be glad to do that. I mean, this deer was a God-sent deer. I asked the Lord to let me kill this deer. He let me kill this deer. He's given me this platform, and I'd be glad to show him anywhere in the state.
We'll be ringing your phone soon. Again, congratulations on it. Incredible, y'all. 175 and an 1/8-inch 8-point. And you said, once again, this is the as a 9-point number one, right?
Number one, 9-point, non-typical.
Yeah.
And
number three, 8-point. Typical.
Unbelievable.
And if somebody wants to see pictures of deer, where do they go?
Most of the pictures you can go on, have to go on Big Daddy. He's got most of them. I don't do social media.
Don't worry. I'm going to do it for you. I'll link it up on our Facebook.
Alabama Whitetail Records has got pictures. I've got pictures. I send stuff by email, and I send pictures by text. But I've got plenty of pictures of him. I did that collage today, and I've got every picture that I've ever had of the deer.
It's incredible. We're going to link it up on our Facebook page. Again, Wayne, congratulations.
Thanks
for hopping on with us.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all
giving
me the opportunity to share my deer, my story.
Right.
You're
it's
welcome,
good stuff.
Wayne. Congratulations.
Man, it's incredible deer. We'll link that up. online. You'll be able to check it out there, and we're coming right back. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and big thank you to Wayne Edgeworth. Yeah, what a buck. 175 and an 1/8-inch 8-point. Quite the accomplishment. And yeah, hopefully we'll get that buck down here so we can see it in person coming up soon. And also another reminder, too, things that are coming up in the not-too-distant future, the Mobile Boat Show, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. Of course, FM Talk 106.5 at our Guides Corner are coming back. That means all the great fishing guides and some folks from the... I'm trying to get at least one folk on the person on the list from the hunting side. No, two people on the list from the hunting side as well. They'll be down there along with myself, Mike Ward, the whole gang for the Boat Show Guides Corner all 3 days down at the Mobile Convention Center. So we'll see you down there. All right, got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way in next. See y'all next week.